Well, good morning and welcome everyone to 30 Minutes of Wisdom. This is Robin Blank Mascari. I'm calling from Bozeman, Montana, and I want to thank everyone for joining us on our call, either live or on the replay. Gregory and I started these weekly calls as our way of paying it back, actually really paying it forward for all the amazing people we've been blessed to meet and the wisdom we have gleaned from these people over the years and actually over the decades. Our intention this morning and with these Friday calls is to actually dip into the well of wisdom with many of our special guests to create a safe space where people from all professions, backgrounds, and companies can come together and really learn from some of the most inspired forward thinkers, trainers, coaches, and actually enlightened beings in our world today. So this morning, I am going to introduce our speaker. Our topic is a very special topic. It's actually story theater, the power to persuade. Emotion is the fast lane to the brain. We're going to talk a little bit about the science of the art of storytelling and humor in business and actually in life. Our guest is a master storyteller. He's a storytelling expert in all dimensions. He's the author of Story Theater, The Story Theater Method, and How to Write and Deliver a Dynamic Speech System. He has traveled the world working with some of the most influential people in some of the largest organizations and people from all walks of life. You know, everything from Microsoft and the AME and to Neiman Marcus and many nonprofits even. But his passion is really supporting people to really speak their truth through their stories. And he comes to us with a background as a professional actor on stage, in the movies and TV, and specializes in coaching professionals on strategic storytelling, how to be masterful, inspirational, and engaging to really get the message across. Now, I met him back in the 80s, I think that's when it was, and at that time I was touched by his wisdom and actually awakened to a more conscious awareness of the value and importance of storytelling and realizing that so many of you, our listeners, are doing really, really important work in the world on whatever level you're doing at, and knowing that this tool can help each and every one of us be more and more effective. I wanted to share them with you as a powerful resource so that each one of us can be even more effective in communicating the special gifts and messages. So it is my pleasure to welcome Doug Stevenson. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning to you and everyone listening in.
Thanks, Doug. So how about if we start out by having you share a little bit about how Story Theater was developed? How and why did you create Story Theater?
Well, as with most of the listeners today, if you've got something that other people want and desire and ask you for more information about or for you to help them with their skills around your skill set, that's always the best way, and that's what happened with Story Theater. I did not intend to be a storytelling expert or a storytelling coach. It was it kind of evolved out of something very natural and organic. When I left acting and I started to move into the profession of motivational speaking and training, I came into it with some pretty interesting stories. And I actually had an experience in Los Angeles as part of an improvisational theater company where we were asked one night to go out and do something we would never do, to leave the building, to go outside of the theater into the community and do something that was a big risk, and to do it with a partner. And my partner and I chose to go streaking. This was 1974. So we got in my Volkswagen bus and we went to Westwood, which is just outside of UCLA, and we jumped out of my Volkswagen bus with nothing but our shoes on and went streaking around the block and got arrested naked. Some cops saw us and pulled up in front of us and said, "Freeze! Put your hands up!" And, you know, the whole thing was very, very comical. Well, I decided that this was going to be pretty good stand-up comedy material, so I went to the Comedy Store on Sunset Strip and the Improv, and time after time I went up in front of an audience, stood still, and told the story. And while it was a hilarious opportunity, I did not know how to deliver the story in a way that got laughs or that got people involved. And so I basically decided, I guess I'm just not funny. I guess the story isn't as funny as I thought, or else at least I don't know how to tell it. But 15 years later, when I was in Colorado Springs and I'd left acting behind, and I had started to find my own way and my own personality and style as a professional speaker, I was now much more physically free to perform the story. And I started to perform the story one night at a library presentation skills class. And I didn't just stand there and tell it the way I had done in Hollywood, standing behind a microphone. I started running around and acting like I was streaking and acting like the cop said, put your hands over your head. And I acted like, you know, there he was, and I froze, and I had my hands up, and I was doing all this stuff. And I didn't know it, but that was the beginning of story theater, the integration of narration and action, a combination of storytelling and form and structure, which I had learned from doing Shakespeare and Brecht and really great plays. So I'd learned a lot about form and structure and sequence from the great plays, but also how, as an actor, do you create the moment? How do you act out the moment? And with my streaking story, I had created, without knowing it, a hybrid of narration and acting and comedy. And so other people, when I got into the profession of speaking, saw me do this story and said, oh my gosh, that's really unique. Could you teach me how to do what you're doing? And I said, well, what am I doing? And they said, well, you're an actor, right? That's acting, isn't it? And I said, well, I guess it is. And they said, could you teach us? And I said, sure. So I went home and I tried to figure out what the heck am I going to tell them about what I do, because I don't know what I do. It was unconscious competence, if you know what I mean. And by teaching it since 1996 with over 95 story theater retreats all over the world, over 800 individual coaching clients, tens of thousands of people in my corporate trainings, I have come to understand that what I've created is storytelling technology.
Mm-hmm.
And I have created the methodology. I have polished the methodology. I have been challenged by my students to answer questions that I didn't know to ask, and I'm sure every coach can relate to that. Someone will ask you a question, and you will, you know, get off the coaching call or whatever and go back and say, how would I answer that in the future? So this is storytelling technology. Just like you would use Microsoft Word for a Word document, or Publisher for a flyer or PowerPoint or Keynote for a presentation skills slide deck, this is technology that I've developed that allows other people to use this technology to make their stories much more amazing, much more brilliant. It's the yin and the yang of form and structure and heart and soul.
Wow. So you're talking about the distinction between narrating and telling a story and actually delivering it with, you know, a much more dynamic and impactful message. What's actually happening to the audience when you're doing that? Why is this more effective?
Well, what I started to realize coming from acting is that speakers are so connected to trying to connect with their audience that sometimes they go codependent. Sometimes we get freaked out by that person who looks like they don't like us or they're not with us, and we lose our power. But as an actor in a play, and many people that are listening in on this have done a play somewhere, when you're an actor in a play, there's a fourth wall, and you don't relate to the audience at all. But because you're doing nothing but present tense creating of a moment in time, an imaginary moment in time, the audience comes into your space with their imagination. Well, when I am doing a story, 70% of it is still narrative. I'm looking at the audience, and I'm talking to the audience, and I'm telling them what happened back then. But then I shift into acting mode for the most powerful emotional moments in the story, the moments of crisis or revelation or obstacle or challenge, the moments that are hilarious or the moments that are dramatic, and I act those out. And what happens to the audience, and this is what I've learned over the years, is they can't tell the difference between sitting in a movie theater watching Titanic and having their imagination take over and place themselves in the movie, and me standing in front of a room of 50 or 75 people or 150 or 1,500 people. They can't tell the difference. Their imagination has the same reaction. It's an emotional trigger reaction. So I am triggering with my acting skills, and you don't have to be an actor to do this, because the people that come and work with me are not actors. They are people in jobs in corporate American associations and government agencies. When I'm acting out a moment, recreating that moment, I create an emotional trigger in you, the listener, that causes you to have what John Medina calls a mirror neuron response. Or no, that's Marco Iacobani in his book Mirroring People. A mirror neuron response. So in the movies, when it's a very, very sad scene in the movie and we're crying, we are actually having a mirror neuron response. This is the science that causes us to experience what we're watching. Not empathetically through what we think they're having an experience of. We're crying for our own story that is happening at the same time. So I did not know when I started out to teach this that I was doing something that is highly scientific in its application and its result, but that's exactly what's going on. When I perform story the way I perform it, especially my streaking story, and I am standing there naked at the end of an alley with my hands up and a crowd of 50 people around and a cop car there, and I'm standing there freaking out, people in the audience say that they felt embarrassed, that they wanted to cover themselves up, that they couldn't believe that they got themselves in that situation. And when I asked them, do you hear what you just said, that you were embarrassed, that you wanted to cover yourself up? But I was the one who went streaking. And they said, oh, but I was there. That's
wow.
What story theater does.
Wow. So as you're helping, I love when you talk about bringing this more to a conscious competence, because of all of your acting training and most of us that have had none, you know, your work zones, you know, you talk about liberating people through their own storytelling, and, you know, you've got, that's a great story. What if people don't have such great stories? Can they come to life too?
Well, the beauty of the story theater methodology is that I liberate people from the belief that they have to have some huge, life-threatening breast cancer survivor story or Mount Everest story or near-death experience into understanding that story is not about the event itself.
Mm.
It's about crafting that event, bringing it alive with story theater, and allowing the profound lesson that you learned from that moment in time to come forward and be a profound lesson for everyone else. As a matter of fact, Robin, when we are telling a story where the event was absolutely mundane, typical, everyday kind of crisis or obstacle or challenge, people relate to it at a much easier level, because most people will never climb Mount Everest or run a triathlon or have a near-death experience. Most of us are sitting there in our ordinary, normal lives, having normal, ordinary crisis and challenge on a daily basis. One of my best stories is simply about going running. I took up running a couple of years ago to get in shape, and the story revolves around trying to get in shape and just trying to be able to even run a mile when I couldn't run a mile, and eventually getting to the place where I took it seriously enough that I started reading the magazines, and they were all talking about, well, part of what you do to prepare for races is called hill training. You run on hills. You look for hills. Well, when you start running, you don't want to run on anything other than flat, because that's hard enough. But I decided to take them up on their word. There's a path by my house, and it's got some good hills on it. And I thought, okay, I'm going to run on the hills. Well, I turned this story about, you know, learning how to run on hills and work out, and I turned the hills into a metaphor for the obstacles that we face in life, the uphill climbs that we face in life that are challenging, that we want to avoid. And through story theater methodology, I am able to make this thing about the hills a flip from, I hate these hills, they're driving me crazy, they're painful, I hate them, I don't want to run these hills, to, wait a minute, these hills are making me stronger. I love these hills. And so while one day I'm out there running going, I hate these hills, this is driving me crazy, when I have a revelation, a shift in consciousness or perspective, the next day, as I run the same hill with a new intention, I am running up the hill saying, thank you, hills, for making me stronger. Thank you, hills, for helping my heart be stronger. Thank you for adding a day to the end of my life. And so it's a normal, ordinary, something that hundreds of thousands of people do. They go for a run, and I take a simple thing like running up a hill and turn it into a profound message of love the hills, which is a metaphor for love the obstacles in your life. Embrace them. They're making you a better person. They're giving you an opportunity to grow. So you don't have to have some amazing thing happen. It could be a flat tire on the way to a meeting, and it can be a lesson about procrastination or planning. It doesn't have to be anything big. The event is not what it's about. It's about understanding the craft and the art, the science and the art of storytelling.
Beautiful. And, there's some great people out there that share something, like you're saying, that can seem quite mundane, but they transform it. And the first person that comes to mind is, what was that TV show with the, I just lost it. I'll think of it in a second, a comedy that took, like, the most mundane thing, like the sock in the dryer, you know, that everybody could relate to and turned it. Seinfeld.
Seinfeld is a TV show about nothing, but it's always crisis, crisis, crisis around nothing.
But he made people laugh. So who are some of your favorite storytellers, Doug, and why?
Well, I love to listen to Garrison Keillor on National Public Radio. His Prairie Home Companion program is a true university for storytellers to just listen to every Saturday at 6 o'clock. I believe, on National Public Radio. He does Prairie Home Companion, and he always tells his story about Lake Wobegon. And he's created a mythical town in Minnesota called Lake Wobegon, and he's populated this mythical town, this imaginary town, with these colorful Minnesota characters. And he is able to, just with his voice and his narrative and the pictures and emotions that he creates, just absolutely weave a mesmerizing spell of relationships and conflicts and imagery and emotion. And it's really good to listen to him, or if you ever get to see him in person, because you realize the elegance of language, the importance of detail, the brilliance of tempo and flow and inflection. And this is just on the radio. So we don't have any physical cues. We don't have any body language to look at. It's really powerful to watch someone like him. Now, one of my first icons was Bill Cosby, and I'm actually going to go see Bill Cosby this coming on the 31st of March. I'm going to go see him in concert. Probably, 1968 was the last time I saw him in person. But he's an amazing storyteller, once again, because of the physicality. So when you study Bill Cosby or Lily Tomlin, even Ellen DeGeneres, people like that, you watch them doing their stories, doing the kind of presentation that they do, and it's physical, it's facial, and the form and structure is there in terms of the detail and the character development, but also there's physicality to it. And here's the thing that I want everyone listening to understand. You each have a unique brilliance, a unique expression that is one and only you. And when you are organically congruent with that, using the same physical, vocal, and facial expression that you use all day long, you can be amazing with your storytelling. It's when we cut all of that out, when we try and be corporate or appropriate or not offend, when we step away from telling our truth and we hesitate, that's when we lose the power to be magnificent in front of our audiences and have a chance to transform them right there in the room. Give them an experience. Because, Robin, what I've discovered about transformation and change, which is what I think every single person on this call is about, how do I transform and change myself? How do I transform and change others? We learn through obstacles, challenges, and crisis. We learn through pain. Storytelling allows us to weave a tale where we encountered an obstacle or a challenge, and through the pain that we experienced, through the challenge or the crisis or the dilemma that we faced, and then the revelation or the lesson that we use that story to teach, people can literally, right there in the room with us in 5 or 7 or 10 minutes, experience their own dilemma or crisis and have a revelation through the pain, through the obstacle of our story. We can all transform others this way.
So as you say that, Doug, I'm thinking about myself and our listeners and people that have their important work in the world. Where does someone get started in this process of having a higher level of conscious competence about crafting the story? Do we take notes? Do we just, where do we start?
Well, first, most of my students, their first obstacle is, what are my stories? A lot of people say, I don't even think I have any stories. So first of all, you go back into your life and you look at, where are the events or moments or challenges in my life where I overcame something, either through a pattern that was continual through many, many years of my life, and then finally one day I recognized the pattern and overcame it. Or, for instance, like I say, the flat tire on the way to a very important meeting, and you're 20 minutes late for the meeting, and you don't get the job, or you don't make the impression that you wanted to make because, once again, you did not plan correctly. You knew that your tire was bad. You knew that you weren't leaving yourself enough time for anything. And finally, on that one day when you mess up, you go home and you say, that's it. I'm changing this behavior. I'm not going to do this anymore. This is costing too much. This is too painful. So we first look for the moments in our life where we had our revelations, where we made our changes. Then, using my story theater methodology and the 9 steps of story structure that I teach, I have translated Shakespearean form and structure, the same form and structure that was in Star Wars and The Matrix and in Titanic and in When Harry Met Sally and Romeo and Juliet, the same structure for all powerful stories, the hero's journey. And I've translated that into what you and I do on a daily basis, which is, well, we just, you know, give presentations either at our job or at Rotary clubs or in front of an audience that we want to illuminate them about what it is we do or how we do it or how we can help them to change their lives. And we use this 9 steps of story structure, which I would like to make available to people. I have a white paper on it, an article that I could provide for people. And you use that 9 steps of story structure to learn how to do it. Now, my book, The Story Theater Method, Doug Stevenson's Story Theater Method, teaches not only what is this methodology of the 9 steps, but how do you write differently than you write a term paper? How do you construct a narrative? How do you write it in a conversational way? How do you memorize it and rehearse it to the place where you can replicate it and make sure that you don't mess the story up? So that's a resource. I've got videos on YouTube as well that you can study.
Beautiful, beautiful. And you're doing a lot of your work in the business world, and I love that people are open and receptive to realizing that if we, you know, we talked about this talk being the power to persuade, and, you know, some people may have their own perceptions about that word, but it's so important in our world to open people up to different ways of seeing things to be more effective in whatever we're doing. So what got you into the corporate world?
Well, I was working quite a bit with professional speakers at the beginning through the National Speakers Association, people who wanted to take their stories out and make a living as a inspirational speaker or as a trainer. And people would come to me recognizing that they were okay, but they wanted to be better, or that if they wanted to compete in the marketplace for professional speaking gigs, they had to be brilliant. They couldn't just be okay. But then I started to realize, you know what, this is a lot of these people that are coming to me that want to be professional speakers are corporate trainers. They're people in corporate America who want to make a transition out, or they're coaches who want to use this, or they're ministers or they're politicians. And so I started to attract a much larger following, and then I followed up on that and I said, well, if trainers like this, where are the trainers? And so I started speaking at ASTD, the American Society of Training and Development. And then I started to realize, well, leaders want this, so I went to the ASAE, the American Society of Association Executives. And all of a sudden, coaches started to come to me. So I spoke at the International Coach Federation. And so I've started to learn, where do these people hang out that need to know about this? I go and speak at those conventions. And to me, it does not matter what job you're in, what career field you're in. What I'm about is helping you transform yourself to the level of magnificence that you are capable of using form, structure, and technique, using the story theater method and my intuitive coaching, so that you can get the bang for the buck out of your stories and out of your presentations that you're looking for, which is to help other people, to change people's lives, to know what is the technology that allows me to get up there and get the result that I'm looking for, which is people are blown away not only by me but by themselves. And so it just continued to expand, and I now have people coming to Colorado Springs from all over the world to work with me in my story theater retreats. As a matter of fact, this afternoon...
That's just what I was going to ask you. Would you please tell us about that passion of yours?
Yeah, the story theater retreat, I was doing them all over the country, and I started to realize, my gosh, I'm never home. So I finally was able to purchase a home where I could create the Peak View Studio in my home. The Peak View Studio meaning a view of Pikes Peak here in Colorado Springs, an absolutely amazing 14,000-foot Colorado 14er mountain. And we created the Peak View Studio here in my home, and we started to do this intimate and transformational story theater work here in my home. It's an evening and 2 days for four people. And people will come in, and we will use story as the template to explore their magnificence, the form and structure, the charisma, the presence, the power, the emotion, the drama, the comedy, all of that. And we do this work here basically once or twice a month. We have people come in and work in the studio. And then a lot of people come back, like this one lady is coming back this afternoon to work with me for 2 days on her entire keynote presentation, the form and structure, the sequencing, what are the stories, what are the points, how do I open, how do I close. And so all of a sudden this has evolved into this amazingly transformational workshop, kind of a inner child journey and a magnificence workshop and a storytelling and presentation skills workshop and an acting class, all in one for people who really want to be able to accomplish what they see others do. Because I think most of us will see somebody give a presentation and our jaw will be on our lap and we're thinking, oh my gosh, they make it look so easy. And it's not.
So this is truly a transformational experience. People that are really ready to do the deeper work will come be with you in that small group in your home and literally have a life-changing experience and develop that conscious competence to and the craft to get their message out to the world and liberate their own stories is what it sounds like.
Yeah, I basically have said to many people, your story is bigger than you are. You need to live up to the power of that story.
Wow.
And they will say to me, you know, you're right. This story is so big and so powerful and so emotional, I don't know what to do with it. And it doesn't have to be a big emotional story either. Some people bring just silly little funny little stories, but that's their story and they want to work on that. So, the story theater work and the coaching and the corporate keynotes and training that I do, it doesn't matter what the form is. I just love to take this out into the world and help people use this universal language of story, because I've done this all over the world, and it doesn't matter where I go. When I start telling story, everybody plugs in.
Beautiful. And you have, you also have another wonderful resource that you alluded to a little bit, the 21-step how to write and deliver a dynamic speech system, because a lot of people don't know where to start. And so what medium is that available in?
Well, the Dynamite Speech System is 10 CDs with an 80-page workbook.
Wow.
And it's a home workshop. It's a home study course. I've literally created this so that you put the CD in and you listen to it, and then you'll hear a tone, and that tone means go to page 12 and do the exercise. Stop listening, go do the work. Come back, continue. And so in these 10 CDs, which is approximately 10 hours of content and instruction, and it's audio, it's not video, you are given this workbook and this template, and it allows you to use both a left brain and a right brain approach to analyzing and considering what is it that I'm trying to say, what are the different pieces that will allow me to say that. Is it story? Is it poem? Is it reading an article from the Harvard Business Review? Is it you know, talking about some famous person that has inspired me? What are those elements, and how do you construct that and put that together It's what I consider the model for how do you create a motivational speech that someone would want to pay you for. And I've never seen anything or never heard anything before that actually analyzes how do you create a presentation that's designed to inspire and motivate, not just inform and teach.
Beautiful.
How do you get both to happen? How do you get the yin and the yang of that to happen at the same time?
What a huge contribution your work is to the world, my dear. Thank you, thank you, thank you. So we're just about done with our 30 minutes of our recording for 30 Minutes of Wisdom. Any final comments in addition to if people want to access Doug's work, it's storytelling-in-business.com. What other final comments, Doug, for our audience today?
Well, what I'd like to offer everyone is if you go to the website, storytelling-in-business.com, I'd like to offer you the opportunity to sign up for the free monthly newsletter. And there's an article once a month that is very informative, instructive about storytelling or presentation skills or power and poise and charisma or influence or persuasion. And that's a free monthly newsletter, and you'll also be able to be aware then of where I am in the country, where I'm speaking, what is going on, what are the dates of the retreats coming up. And that is an incredible resource of free information and inspiration on a monthly basis. You will also see in the very near future, right now it is March 16th, and within a month I'm going to have the new website up, which is going to have the Next Level Speaker Academy. And that will be a subscription-based academy that you can sign up for and be part of webinars, teleseminars, webcasts, video learning systems. I have a 50 video learning system that is coming out. So there's a lot in the works here for people to be able to study virtually at a very low cost as well. So, yeah, go to storytelling-in-business.com and sign up for the newsletter, but also if you'd like the free article on the 9 steps of story structure, send an email to Deborah@DougStevenson.com or use the contact us form on the website and just say 9 steps article or Deborah, D-E-B-O-R-A-H, at DougStevenson.com and in the subject line, 9 steps article.
Wow, you are offering tremendous value to so many, and I loved when we talked the other day that you're just looking at more and more ways to use technology to leverage these wonderful resources for people, and I thank you for that, and so do lots of other people. So Doug, thank you for your huge contribution on our 30 minutes of wisdom, and I want to remind everyone that this call is available for a 24/7 replay for 7 days by calling 712-432-1085, and the PIN number is the same at 705-5522. And the Resource Center has the past calls on it, enlightennetworking.com. Go to the resource page, and we'll be updating the last few calls. So that is free listening for everyone 24/7. And next week, it is springtime, everybody, and we're going to be doing some spring cleaning on the inside and do some wonderful awareness and cleansing and education and inspiration about the importance of that with Diana Lees. So we hope you enjoy accessing and learning from all our calls and sharing them with others. And if you've dialed in today and haven't yet registered to receive notices, you can do that at enlightennetworking.com and register. So at this time, we're going to complete our recording, and Doug agreed to stay on for a few minutes for some Q&A, so stand by for just a moment, please. Please.